This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It's time for the Celtic Takeover. 30 minutes giving you all the latest what is going on at Celtic at the minute. And the man to give us that knowledge is John McGinley, who joins us from the Grant Old Podcast. But just very quickly, lots of action tonight. And just a quick recap, Aston Villa playing Watford. It is 1-0 Watford. Watford flying under new man Nigel Pearson. Bournemouth beating Brighton 2-0. Southampton are leading at half-time at Selhurst Park against Crystal Palace. Nathan Redmond getting on the score sheet there. Everton beating Newcastle 1-0 just kicked off. Sheffield United holding Man City 0-0 at Bramall Lane. And Chelsea-Arsenal, 15 minutes into the game, is 0-0 at the Bridge. But who cares? Because this is a Celtic Fan Show, of course. The Celtic Takeover. John, always good to be joined by you once more. I look forward to our 30 minutes more than most. And finally, John, the winter break is over. The football was back. And it was Partick Thistle on the weekend, progressing to the next round of the Cup. And it's now Clyde away into the fifth round. What did you make of that performance, John?
The performance was, you know, it was okay, I would say. It wasn't particularly special. I think you could see the kind of rustiness of the players a little bit. I think that we did what we needed to do, and, you know, whenever we got out of the second gear, I think if it had become closer, you know, earlier in the match, we would have been able to take our game, you know, up a level. You know, Partick Thistle did their best, but they, you know, obviously there's a quality difference there, and then Celtic made sure that resulted in progression.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, first game of football, expected a little bit of rustiness, you know, but Celtic, many chances, you know. Edouard hitting a bar, then he went close with a free kick, seemingly all nearly firing straight back on all cylinders, John.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see Edouard and Griffiths play together. I think it's something that, you know, that's been looked at for a while by Lennon, and I think over the January transfer window, the chance to bring in Klamala, you know, for his last, making his debut last 10 minutes in the match on Saturday. I think he feels like he's got enough strikers now to use that as an effective option. And with Ryan Christie obviously suspended and injured at the moment, then you kind of, and Forrest out of the team as well, then we need our strikers and we need, you know, more attacking players in the team. So I thought Griffiths did pretty well with Edouard, and I think him getting his goal was a massive confidence boost for him. So I was happy with that, but perhaps most of all, you know, and in terms of specific players, that is Griffiths getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Griffiths because obviously first goal since August, hasn't started since I think early December, and you know, back in the team there, he's saying, well, he said afterwards, you know, he's still got a massive role to play. John, for you, how big is that role he can play, and especially, and where we're at the business end of the season now, Celtic fighting on all fronts, what role can he do? Because he said also that he's had to bite his tongue a little bit, you know, to former ex-pros, what they've been saying, social media getting a little bit stick, but this is the man that knows how to get on a score sheet and knows where the goal is.
Yeah, and you know, he's quite a reactive character to, you know, criticism.
To say the least.
Social media, yeah, exactly. You know, he has come off social media before and come back on, and there's been a little bit of all that. It's all a bit of a distraction for me. That's just the way he likes to, you know, handle himself. But I think he's fair enough to come out after the match, after he scored, after so many months of some people saying that he would never play for the club again. And there's no argument that, you know, he's a little bit of a divisive figure as well among Celtic supporters. But for me, I've always been a fan of him, and I think that when he gets in the team and gets, you know, a run of games and gets, you know, his scoring wind up a little bit, he's capable of scoring double figures and 20 goals a season. One season he scored 40 goals in one season for us, Charlie, which is a record that, you know, hasn't been seen since the days of Henrik Larsson. So he's a enigmatic player, I would say. He's kind of a confidence player as well, and I'd like to see him stay at Celtic and play a role. And I think if we can get him fit and playing and happy, then that little bit of added firepower for me is a massive boost in the second half of the season.
Yeah, massive, because I still think he has a lot to offer and a lot to give. And you've touched upon it there, you know, regardless what his role is or how much he has to offer, Celtic, you know, are going to need him. Want to go deep in Europa League, one of the tightest Scottish premierships we've seen in a long, long while, hopefully progressing further than Clyde in the next round. They're going to need to rotate. I know they're adding a few more bodies, which we'll get onto, but, you know, we never know what's around the corner in terms of injuries and suspensions as well, John, so it could be a vital role to play.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's all been a little bit hasty around, you know, he's not got a future at Celtic and he's on his way out, and I think it's just all been, that narrative's been building kind of unchecked by Lennon. But even Lennon has said himself that he sees Griffiths as a fairly important part of the squad, and you're right, rotation will be necessary. We need Griffiths at his best, and you know, I think the frustration is for a lot of supporters is that Griffiths plainly hasn't been at his best for a couple of years now, and he had all those problems in the second half of last season, and people were willing to be patient with him, and it's been a gradual build back into the side, and I think that's to be expected really when you're out of the team and not playing because of personal reasons that are unrelated to football, then it's always going to be a process to come back to the level that you're capable of. And that hopefully we're beginning to see that now. And, you know, if he doesn't push on from here, then I don't think anyone would begrudge Celtic, you know, possibly moving him on. But at the moment, he's still, you know, alive for me at Celtic, and I hope to see more of that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he was a name, a striker that hasn't played this December. He was in the team. He was on the team sheet, and he got on the score sheet. Another man who got himself a couple of minutes at the end, like you said, Patrick Kimala. We spoke about him last week. Got his debut, a few minutes at the end, not really enough to assess and judge his impact. But please, you know, like you said, we need him to hit the ground running almost, and he was straight in the action, wasn't he, John?
Yeah, I think that's the most positive. You can't make any judgment, can you, after you know, 11 minutes of football. But, you know, I think the fact
I'm sure
involved...
some fans probably are, though, John.
I'm sure they are. I think the fact that he was involved in the match squad and had been training with the team and Lennon and seen enough of him to include him and, you know, get him on the pitch as quickly as possible, I think is a good sign. And, you know, got a lot of games coming up and hopefully see him start a couple of games. But as I've just said, you know, I would keep Griffiths in the team at the moment. If he's scoring a goal, you've got to keep him in the team for me because he's that kind of player. But I would quite like to see, you know, the young guy in, you know, whenever possible, whenever Lennon feels like it's a good time to give Edouard a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll obviously go in further. Clyde next could be, and Europa League could get some minutes there. But it's always good, John, to have competition for places. I just want to talk about, I know, you know, in the English Premier League at the minute, so much is being made of VAR. I'm sure you're aware of it. The inconsistency, armpit offsides, and, you know, going back, yellow card, red cards. Interesting incident, me watching the Celtic game on the weekend. Obviously, a foul on Frimpong. For me, Frimpong, a clear, clear push. No penalty. John, what was that all about? How was that deemed not a penalty? It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
I mean, the reputation of Scottish referees up here isn't exactly great.
I'm aware.
That, yeah. And I think, you know, I think fans of all teams would say that. I think that it's not just a Celtic thing, it's not just a Rangers thing. I think fans of teams across the division would, you know, raise their eyebrows at some of the decisions that get handed out sometimes. Mm-hmm. That was just completely bizarre for me. It was an obvious, obvious penalty. And we've got problems of our own up here at the moment, not to do with VAR, but we have, you know, like a retrospective disciplinary process where it's like the judgment of one person whether a player's cited based on what's been on the BBC highlights. And it's just like, it's just all a bit of a mess right now. So I think there needs to be serious discussions from the clubs and changes made at the Scottish FA. But it needs to be led by the clubs because they effectively vote on these changes. So if Celtic and Rangers and the other teams in the Scottish top flight aren't happy, then they need to say so and they need to lead the charge on that for me.
Yeah, it was a strange one because like you said, look, sometimes refs get decisions wrong and everyone makes a mistake, but I mean, it was a pretty obvious push. I mean, pretty's being fairly generous at that as well. It was a weird mistake to make, but it went unpunished. So it got the win, so I suppose that, you know, now no one really will talk about it. Paper over the cracks for the ref a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the goal Celtic conceded then, because obviously Partick were through on goal. Sloppy mistake by Julian. You know, and again, mistakes happen, but this was a poor one, wasn't it? And it didn't actually lead. He missed it going through on goal, but it led to the penalty and they were back in the game.
Yeah, and it's one of those strange moments. I think concentration lapses are you know, difficult to see. I mean, Julian's been such a good player for us this season that it's hard to, you know, criticise him too much. I didn't actually think that was a penalty either, which was added to the strangeness of the whole thing because, you know, I think the suggestion was that Frimpong had clipped the player's legs, but I think Lennon and his coaching staff and everyone after the game seemed to, and replays didn't seem to suggest that that had happened at all. It was more of a case he kind of got his body in front of the player and the referee or the lineman or whoever's, you know, seen something has thought that Frimpong's clipped him. So another one of those strange ones. I think, you know, the game was comfortable at that point, so it didn't really matter too much, but hopefully there's no defensive lapses over the next few weeks because that would, you know, give me problems.
I thought, oh, he's made a mistake there. Interesting one, but they're through. Like I said, it is Clyde. That game will be played next month. Talking of penalties, Arsenal have just conceded one at Stamford Bridge. David Luiz being sent off. So penalties, the name of the game at the minute for Celtic and Arsenal. But we're going to be talking about, we mentioned Kimala getting his debut and being signed last week. Another signing is imminent. We're going to be mentioning that. I think you know who it is. And talking a little bit about the games to come, Kilmarnock tomorrow, Ross County on the weekend, and what Celtic midfielder Callum McGregor had to say about those new signings.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by my co-host John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. Make sure you check them out for all your extra Celtic content. And as always, you can put a question to me or John, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. We told you of a penalty at Stamford Bridge. David Luiz being sent off for Arsenal. Chelsea scored it. They are 1-0 up. Jorginho getting that goal. Chelsea's resident penalty taker. But keeping it on Celtic, obviously beating Partick Thistle, that first game since the winter break, they safely navigated that one. But there has been other big news regarding Celtic, John. Obviously, Celtic manager Neil Lennon has now confirmed that a deal has been struck for midfielder Ismaël Lasoro, waiting on paperwork, work permits, etc. John, A, what do you know about the player, and B, when can we expect this to go through?
Well, I think the time frame now is the next couple of days. I think the medical is either being completed or is in the process of, and it's just a work permit issue. So hopefully that all gets squared away in the next couple of days and we see him in training and, you know, competing for places. I think, obviously, I'm not an expert on Israeli football, so I don't know too much about him. But from what I have, you know, gleaned from a bit of research is that he's a combative, you know, perhaps defensively minded midfielder rather than a creative one, you know, who plays more in an attacking role. So he'd be competing for places alongside Scott Brown and Callum McGregor are probably his primary competition in the team. So be interesting to see what he's all about and if he's a physical presence in the middle of the park and if he can kind of replicate some of the play that we see from Brown and McGregor. And if he can, and similar to Kamala, if he can hit the ground running, then it's another big asset in the second half of the season. Because from my perspective, I feel Celtic's central pairing play together far too often and, you know, burn themselves out on occasion, I would suggest. So I'm looking and I'm excited to see some fresh blood in that area.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you just mentioned competition for places and one of the players that spoke on that, Callum McGregor, you know, because the players are aware of it, he said new signings like Sorrow can help the team starve off complacency in the second half and competition's always good, you know. He's got to get that in there because he can welcome the new guy, but competition, it does keep it, you know, the competition healthy and thriving to state that no one knows, you know, their place isn't always safe.
Yeah, but it's about balance as well because you obviously want your best players to be playing, you know, the majority of the time. But in a case of McGregor's direct example, I think last season, if you included all the Scotland games, he played more minutes than any other player in world football, Charlie. So that's like, and it's, you know, it can be a point of celebration in terms of, you know, his Ironman status. But you also don't want the player to be burnt out and you know, completely, you know, at the mercy of our really heavy schedule from July through to May. So I think for a player like McGregor, we need to keep him as fresh as possible. He does, he doesn't seem to be toiling matches from a fitness perspective, but I always think there's a little bit more from Callum McGregor in terms of creativity, and I think that's been a little bit lacking from his game this season. So it would be good if he could be kept for our most important matches and have a real spark about him and move a little bit more forward up the pitch, then that would be welcome for me. And if Soro is able to do that and be played in certain matches, and Lennon's comfortable with that, then it's a big positive. And I think, you know, Lennon's highlighted that they've done a bit of scouting work on this guy, so as you'd expect. So I think they're feeling confident about what he can bring to the team.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the words he used, help this team starve off complacency in the second half. Now, obviously, everyone knows they're professionals, they'll go out to it. It's kind of what happened to Rangers last year, you know. It was kind of neck and neck, toe-to-toe, and then they fell away in the new year. And it's true, any team can fall away. Maybe people think, oh, Rangers done it last year, they'll do it this year. But, you know, Celtic just shows how serious they're taking it and how, you know, they're completely focused on the job, because they don't want to fade away either, especially as they are going on all fronts, like we mentioned, John.
You know, yeah, and you're right. And, you know, there'll be fans out there who are looking for the club to bring in even more talent and spend even more money. And it's like people have got a real, they're really worried that, you know, Celtic are kind of going to let this kind of drift away from them in the second half of the season. And I think obviously that's a direct result of the recent derby loss. But I think there is a sense that we do need some fresh blood in the team, and we do need a little bit more ideas in certain positions, and I think the midfield one is certainly one of those for me. We do have Olivier Ncham, for example, who can come in as well, but just having someone else there who offers Lennon a different style of game can really perhaps up the game of Brown and McGregor. I don't think they're going to be dropped anytime soon. It's nothing that drastic, but as you say, it's just about staving off complacency. The prize of trophies should, you know, help that as much as possible, but sometimes you just need someone in training who is annoying you and is kind of chasing down your place in the starting 11. So perhaps that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's an interesting one. Competition is healthy. That's what they need, just a focus and determination every day in training, not like they're going to walk through every game. Obviously, there's been quite a bit of activity in this transfer window for Celtic, John. You know, today, Soro, last week we were talking about Kimala. Can we see any more? Because we wasn't expecting bundles, but Celtic, clearly they've had their eye on a few players. A couple have left as well. It has been a busy window. Still another 10 days or so to go. What else can we expect?
Well, Lennon's talked about adding experience, so, and he directly cited Mohamed El Younoussi as a player in the mould, that mould that he wants to bring in terms of experience. So I wouldn't be surprised if we bring in a couple of fairly high profile people from the Premier League on loan, for example, one or two perhaps in the more forward areas. And I wouldn't be surprised if we signed a centre back too. We've been linked with a few of them, and I think it's about just adding that depth to the squad. We've got Julian and I are there, but beyond them, we've got Simunovic, who's coming back from injury, but is pretty unreliable in terms of fitness. We've got Beaton, who's similar and is a natural midfielder. So I think we need a little bit in the centre back areas. So I would be expecting a defender at least, and then perhaps one or two loans in the more attacking areas.
Yeah, because the players are obviously the two that have come in this window, you know, youngsters, obviously players for the next generation, you know, to lead the side in the next 5-6 years. And that, but a veteran would make a lot of sense, just like you've said there, because, you know, and like Callum McGregor said, you know, to starve off complacency, someone who's been there, done it. We know these players have been there, done it, treble winners, but, you know, to keep a cool head in these times when it is tight, because there will be ups and downs more to come along the way when, you know, Rangers maybe win, Celtic draw, or a little tricky result here, and a cool head can be worth, you know, 3 to 5 points a season.
Yeah, I agree totally. And, you know, I'm not really against loans as long as they make sense and they're, you know, they're going to improve the team. I don't want to sign a loan player and they sit on the bench, and I think that's happened quite a lot at Celtic over the last few years. So if it's going to be a loan player with experience, it needs to be someone who can really compete for places, similar to Fraser Forster, similar to El Younoussi when he's fit. You know, we need players of that standard. If Lennon's looking for that, could be expensive to buy them permanently. So why not bring in a bit of a cool head and an older experienced head who's got elite experience in the Premier League or other top five leagues around Europe, and really give Rangers and the rest of the teams in the Scottish Premiership something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, it's Kilmarnock on tomorrow night, John, and then Ross County, excuse me, on the weekend. Obviously, what are you making of this one? Because it's the return of league action. Actually, both teams you face in the next two are kind of mid-table, but they are away, obviously, tomorrow night to Kilmarnock. What are you making of this one?
Well, it's come out, it's a funny one because they've been really struggling of late. They hadn't won a game since November. They still haven't won a league game since November, but they went out in the Scottish Cup at the weekend and absolutely horsed a lower league team 6-0. So they might have a little bit of confidence coming off the back of that. I don't think that should matter too much. I would expect this to be pretty comfortable for Celtic. Although, you know, they did hold Rangers to a 1-0 victory at Ibrox quite recently, just before the break. But as I say, they've not won a league match since November. They're really struggling for in terms of defeats. I think they've lost the last five in the league. So Celtic should be going there with real confidence to pick up 3 points. I think we really need to do that. Rangers are at home to St Mirren playing at the same time. You know, it's a big night in the Scottish Premiership. So
massive.
We need to make sure that we don't slip up in any way whatsoever. So I would expect Celtic to go there and win comfortably by a couple of goals, I would say.
Yeah, and this is why I was sort of touching on that veteran signing, because already now we don't just talk about Celtic's game. We go, and Rangers are playing that night. And you know, we all do it as fans, yeah. Don't we? We watch the first half, we watch Celtic, and then we go to our phone and we go, oh, you know, Rangers are 1-0 up or 2-0. And that's what we're doing. And that's how every game, but there's so much more added to each and every game. But you're expecting, obviously, the win tomorrow night. Then it is at home, the first home game of the since the winter break of the year. Ross County, what are you making of this one as well, John?
Well, we've played Ross County twice this season and beat them comfortably in both matches. I think we beat them 6-0 last time we played them at home. So we're capable of really, you know, Ross County aren't really a team to come and sit in. They're a team that are going to come and try and play their own way of playing football. And I think we beat them 4-1 away from home as well. So I think we've got a decent record against them this season. We have their number. So again, I would just be expecting a comfortable victory. And I think the fact that we need to maximise our chance at home, because I think we discussed last week, but Celtic, we've got so many away matches coming up.
Yeah.
This is one of our only home matches for the next, you know, month or so. So we really need to take advantage of that and make sure that there's no complacency whatsoever. Sometimes the home games are a worry for me, because it's like Celtic, you're expecting Celtic just to turn up and win, and the players kind of get into that mentality sometimes too. So it's a big week. You know, they're not, perhaps not the biggest teams in the division, but they're capable of taking points off us, and we really need to be our best.
Yeah, absolutely, John. It's going to be a tricky, you know, next few weeks, because Europa League hasn't even started yet, and we're already seeing Wednesday, Sunday, then the return of Europe. So we mentioned Grish, we mentioned the rotation and the depth and these signings coming in. They need to be at it, because it's a game every 2-3 days. Well, someone that will be at it, John, it'll be me and you. We'll be across all of it as always, and we'll be back at the same time next Wednesday at 8:30 when it is the Celtic takeover. And remember, you can put a question to me, put a question to John, as we cheer on Celtic towards the second half of the season on the Celtic Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.